1 John chapter 2, and this is part of a series that I've entitled Light Over Darkness. That is one of the prominent images that we see in 1 John, and so this is number 3 in the series. And let me just encourage you, if you missed the first two and you'd like to get caught up, if you have the internet, these messages are online at arukabaptist.com. You can go on there and click and listen to the messages and catch up. Or if you missed one and you'd like to listen to that, if you let us know, we can also get you a CD that has some of those messages on it if you missed one. But as we look at this tonight, I've entitled this one, 1 John chapter 2, 6 through 11, Seeing Things in a New Light. Seeing Things in a New Light. And so let's look at 1 John chapter 2, and we'll pick up in verse 6. It says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Now, how many of you have ever seen the letters on a bracelet or something, WWJD, right? And what does that stand for? What would Jesus do, right? Well, that is in essence what verse 6 is talking about. "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." So in other words, we as Christians ought to do the things that Jesus did. We ought to live in the way that Jesus did. He is our ultimate example. Let's continue in verse 7. John says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you." Now, that may sound a little bit confusing to you as you read through it. You're like, is it a new commandment or is it an old commandment? Or we're going to look at that tonight. Now, just on the Sunday mornings, we've been going through the Ten Commandments, the sermon series on the Ten Commandments. And so as we look at this tonight, maybe you're asking yourself, well, is he giving us a new commandment? Do we need to pencil in a number 11 on the Ten Commandments? We're going to answer that question tonight. But in verse 8 he says, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Now, as we look at this tonight, I would submit to you, as we see things in a new light, the main idea that John is trying to get across to us this evening in this passage is you must love other believers. Even if you don't like them, you must love them. We are commanded to love each other. And I want you to understand tonight, this isn't about feelings, it's not about emotions, it's about us making a decision that we're going to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, as we've been going through this series, I've told you one of the major images that John uses as he describes the Christian walk is light and darkness. And so tonight we're going to look at some different lights this evening, and I think that it'll reveal to us why it is exactly that we ought to love other believers. And listen, this is huge. You know, I told you on Sunday mornings I'm going through that series on the Ten Commandments. I've heard some say that you could break the whole Ten Commandments into two simple phrases: love God and love man, right? So you love God and you love others. And if that's true, then you could break it down even further and break the whole thing down to one word, and that is love, right? So if we could get this right, then we definitely could fulfill what God requires of us. So you must love other believers. The first light I want you to look at tonight is the spotlight. The spotlight. Now we have some spotlights in here. And a spotlight is a strong, focused light thrown, this is the definition of a spotlight, a strong focused light thrown upon a particular spot, as on a small area of a stage or in a television studio, for making some object, person, or group especially conspicuous. So a spotlight takes an area that is not as well seen, and it illuminates that area so that one focused area can be seen in a new light, can be seen in a better light. Now, we see here that John talks about writing to us a new commandment. Do we need to pencil in an 11th commandment? Well, what he's talking to us about is simply loving other believers, simply to love one another. So you might ask, well, in what sense is that a new commandment? I want you to understand that the Bible was originally written in Hebrew and Greek. Some parts of Daniel are in Aramaic, but predominantly the Old Testament is Hebrew and the New Testament is Greek. Now, the Greek language in many ways is a more precise language. For instance, I say, I love French fries. I love roti. And I love Kara. Right? But I promise you, the way that I'm using that word has very different meanings when I'm talking about French fries and roti. No, when I'm talking about roti and Kara, right? But we still use the same word love. I mean, people love the color green, you know, and they love their mama, you know. So that one word love has a very wide spectrum to it. And in the Greek language, they have it divided up into agape love, which was the intense love that God has for man, right? And phileo love, that's the brotherly love that we should have for other believers. So it's very precise in what it talks about. And the Greek language has a couple different words for new, okay? So when we talk about this as a new commandment, I want you to understand, in the Greek language, they had two primary words that they would use to describe something that was new. Something could be new in time, right? So it's recent, so that's brand new. It just came out, just off the shelf. And the other word has the idea of new in quality. They can kind of closely be equated, those two Greek words can be closely equated to our English words of recent and fresh, right? So we talk about something being recent, means it just came out. But if we talk about something being fresh, that may mean that you've seen it in a different way. That second way, the new that means new in quality, is what John is speaking of when he talks about in verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you. In other words, we now have this commandment in a new life. So the commandment to love one another, it's not due in time. In fact, we see in the Gospel of John, this is what Jesus said to his disciples. It's not new in time, like all of a sudden we have an 11th commandment to add, but rather it's new in quality. It's new in character. Why? Well, because the true light has come. It's new. It has new meaning because of Jesus Christ. The old commandment to love one another has now taken on new meaning. It's like a spotlight has illuminated something that was once dark so that we can see it in a better light. All right, so that's how it's a new commandment. Now, I have to confess to you that in my life, I now play with Barbies on a regular basis, almost daily. That was something that was not true of my life before Kara came into my life. And she will come in the room and she'll say, Daddy, let's play, right? And normally the next phrase that follows is, where's Barbie? So we have some different levels of search that we have for Barbie. We have level one search. And that's where we just kind of go through the different rooms in the house and see if we can happen to see some legs sticking out here or whatever. And then we're like, oh, look, there's Barbie. But if that doesn't work, we have to heighten the search, right? We go to level two. Now, that's a little bit more involved. That means that we actually pick up the cushions on the couch, right? We move anything that might be on top of Barbie. But I have to admit to you, we'll even bend down to see if we might can see some light underneath the table or whatever. But I have to tell you, sometimes that doesn't work. And we have to move it all the way up to DEFCON 3. That's right. And I have to bring out the spotlight, right? And I have to go around the house with a spotlight looking for Barbie. And sometimes it's accompanied with helicopter sounds. asking as I look for Barbie. And I will get down on my knees and look under furniture because we have to find Barbie. Now, you know what? It doesn't take very long once I bring this flashlight out and we're able to see Barbie. I mean, it's amazing how once I make myself go and get the flashlight, I mean, very quickly, we're able to find her. Now, why is that? That when I get the flashlight, does it somehow change the house? No, it doesn't. The house is the same, but now those places that were once darkened, once that light is shined on it, you can see it more clearly. And you know, that's what John is talking about when he talks about, it's not really a new commandment I write to you, but it is new. It's new in quality. It's new in meaning. And it's new because of what we're going to talk about next. It's new in its quality and meaning because of the sunlight. Now notice that is S-O-N, not S-U-N. Let's look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you." And here's the key. "Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth." Now, when I first read that, I wondered, what is it really talking about? What does it mean that the darkness is past, and this true light now shineth? Well, the truth of the matter is, my little illustration with the flashlight is nowhere near the reality of the kind of light that has been shed on this commandment that we love one another. It's more like, instead of my little flashlight, it's more like full-on sunlight, or more accurately, S-O-N, light. God has revealed himself to mankind in the greatest way ever in the person of Jesus Christ. Everything that we learned about God in the Old Testament has been amplified as we bask in the full sunlight of Jesus Christ. The human race has been able to see God in a way that it never saw him before in the person of Jesus Christ. And simply, his presence in history has completely revolutionized our understanding of that commandment that we ought to love one another. It's like full-on sunlight illuminating that commandment. In fact, Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 compares Jesus to sunlight. It says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the sun," S-U-N it says, "of righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Jesus is referred to as the S-U-N of righteousness. Now, we take the sun for granted. I mean, we wake up, as long as we've been around, right? The sun has been coming up and going down just like it's supposed to, making things grow and doing all the things that it's supposed to do. So I think sometimes we take it for granted. But listen to some of these facts about the sun. The diameter of the sun is about 870,000 miles wide. The sun is 109 times wider than Earth. And in density, it is 333,000 times heavier than our Earth. The sun is huge. I think the pictures that we see in textbooks and in science magazines and what have you really don't do it justice as to how big our sun really is. 333,000 times heavier than the Earth. That means that if you were to put the sun on a scale, right, that you would need 333,000 objects the size of our Earth to balance the scale. Are you understanding that? 333,000 of our Earth to balance that scale. And yet, I believe the sunlight that we experience through Jesus Christ is even more powerful than that great sun that we talk about in our solar system that is 333,000 times more heavy than the Earth. Jesus Christ is the standard of love for us. Jesus says over in John chapter 13, 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." And the kids learned it recently, didn't you? Can any of our kids quote it? Go ahead, Latasha.
Love one another.
All right, very good. And let me read that for those of you who didn't hear. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Later on in John chapter 15, Jesus says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. You know, the measure for how we love other believers, it isn't how somebody else loves another Christian, right? So it's not me comparing my love for others against your love for others, but rather it's me comparing my love for others against Christ's love for others. You know, so often we compare ourselves to other people in the church, and you know, if you look at someone who sits next to you or someone who you know who comes to church, and very often we pick somebody who may not be very dedicated, and we say, oh, well, you know, I'm okay because my love far exceeds that. But no, no, no. That's not the standard by which God expects us to love each other. He expects me to love each one of you with the same love that Christ had for me and the same love that Christ had for you. That is a heavy-duty kind of love. You know, we're so familiar with John 3:16, but turn over, if you will, turn to 1 John 3:16, and you'll see just how far God wants us to go in our love for each other. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So John 3:16 tells us about how much God loves us, but 1 John 3:16 tells us how much we ought to love each other. And that is to the degree that we are willing to lay down our lives for each other. The sunlight puts brand new perspective on that old commandment, if I can say it that way, that we ought to love one another. Then lastly tonight, so the spotlight has given us that new, that fresh. It's not new like it's recent, but it's new like it has new meaning. There's a new emphasis to it because of the sunlight, because of what we have learned about love through the person of Jesus Christ. But then lastly tonight, I want you to think about the test light. We're trying to put this in the context of light because the whole sermon series is about light over darkness. And now my dad is an electrician, and that he recently retired. He put in so many years, he gave up doing his electrical work, right? He retired, now he's enjoying retirement. Every time I talk to my mom and dad, they're going off on some new adventure and doing things and all kinds of crazy stuff. But anyhow, I've seen my dad many times use this tool, which is called a test light. Now, you see it has two probes on the end. And how this test light works, an electrician would take it to a panel. So if there's like a panel over here, he would take that test light, he would take one probe and he would put it on the ground wire or the ground screw. And then if there was a wire in there where there wasn't any electricity coming through, he could take the other end and touch each one of those wires, and the light would come on if there was voltage going through that wire. It's a light that tests to make sure that the wiring is working properly, that it's doing the thing that it ought to be doing. And that way, he can find out which wire it is that has the problem and can fix that problem. You know, in the same way, John tells us that there is a test light which will tell us if we have the power of God in our lives and if we are walking in a way that pleases God, if we are walking indeed in the light. You say, well, Pastor Jimmy, what is the test? Well, look, if you will, starting in verse 9 down to verse 11, we get the test. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. What John is saying here is that the test for whether we are in the light, whether we have the power of God, whether we are living in a manner that pleases God, the test of that is what kind of love do you have for other believers? That is indeed the test light. If a Christian walks in the light and is in fellowship with God, he will also be in fellowship with God's people. He will be in fellowship with others in God's family. You see, love and light go together. And on the flip side, darkness and hatred go together. You cannot, listen to me here, you cannot be right with God and be wrong with other believers. You understand that tonight? You cannot be right with God and be wrong with other believers. And let me tell you, this issue right here is why so many churches fall apart. Because this little friction begins between one believer and another believer, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows until the enemy has just the foothold he wants, and pretty soon everybody's walking in darkness, and the church just dissolves. That is why we see it in the New Testament over and over and over again. Love one another. You cannot be right with God and be wrong with other believers. A story is told about a man who was driving through a mining region. As he went past a field, he saw a large number of mules that were there in the field. But that's not normal to have a gathering of mules out in a field. That's not your normal kind of livestock. So when the man inquired about the unusual sight of seeing all the mules gathered there in the field, he was told that those were animals that worked way down in the mine, that those mules had to be brought up from the dark passages below periodically in order to preserve their sight. In other words, if they stayed too long in that darkness, then they would be completely blinded by that darkness. They would eventually go blind if not allowed to come up to the surface to see the light. And you know, in the same way, that is what hatred does to believers. Listen to me, that's what hatred will do in your life. It will blind you in such a way so that you can't even tell where you're going. Stay down in that darkness long enough, and your spiritual vision will indeed suffer. We have to have love one for another. So tonight, you must love other believers. You remember the first light? Anybody remember? Spotlight, right? It's not that it's a new commandment like it's been invented recently, right? It's not like John made it up when he wrote the book of 1 John, but rather it's new in quality. It's new in meaning. That's the kind of new commandment that we have. And the reason why it is new is because of, do you remember the next one? Sunlight, right? The greatest revelation of God that humankind has ever seen is in the person of Jesus Christ. We learn more about the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament through Jesus Christ than any amount of words that could ever be spoken or told. Jesus Christ is the major example. He is the model for the Christian life. He is the greatest revelation to mankind. It's in that full-on brightness, that sunlight, that we really get the meaning of what it means to love one another. And then lastly, the test light, right? And just like that tester can be used to find out if the wire is working properly or if it doesn't have any voltage, in the same way, there is a test to see if you're in the light. And that is, how is your love for other believers? If you have hatred in your heart for other believers, then listen, you're in darkness. You failed the test. The test for walking in the light is to have love one for another in the same way that Jesus did. 1 John 3:16 lets us know just how far we ought to go. We ought to love in so much that we would lay down our lives for each other. One last illustration tonight, and I'll be done. Some years ago, Dr. Carl Menninger, a noted doctor and psychologist, was seeking the reason for his many patients' illnesses. One day, he decided to call all of his clinical staff together, and he proceeded to unfold a plan for developing, in his clinic, an atmosphere of love. All the patients, as he spoke to the staff, all the patients were to be given great amounts of love. In other words, no kind of bad things were to be said. They were to be completely treated nicely, correctly, and love was to be the primary goal of all of the staff physicians as they would go in and out and see each of the patients. This was his plan for helping those that were under his care get better more quickly. So all patients were to be given large quantities of love. No unloving attitudes were to be displayed in the presence of the patients. All the nurses and doctors were supposed to go about their work with a loving attitude. Now what's interesting, Dr. Menninger's observation was this. At the end of 6 months, the time that those patients spent in his institution was cut in half. Now isn't that staggering? There was no new medicine that was discovered, no new procedure per se. Simply the staff was instructed to act in love toward all of the patients there in that institution. How much heartache, how much pain could be prevented and even cured if we could just create an atmosphere of love at Aruka Baptist Church. An atmosphere where each of us love each other with the same kind of love that Jesus Christ has shown to us. Tonight, we need to guard ourselves against unloving attitudes. Tonight, understand, you cannot be right with God and be wrong with other believers.